Mason. Caitlin Mason will be here in the next few hours. No later than tomorrow morning.
Yeah? Well, what if I don't want to see her?
Try to understand. She lost you once years ago, and she's longed to find you and see you. She spent a lot of money paying private investigators over the years. Could you bear to break her heart? Please, just give her a chance. She echoed Austin's words.
I think Charlie needs a few minutes, guys.
Heath's words were garbled. Willow agreed. Heath knew her better. He could talk to her. The news might have been better coming from him to begin with. She and Austin left Charlie in the room with Heath, or Mac, as she preferred. They stood in a shadowed corner of the waiting area outside this section of rooms. The killer was still out there, and Charlie wouldn't be safe until they found out who was behind this. Down the hall, Deputy Taggart marched in their direction.
We need to go back to the nursing home, she whispered to Austin.
She needed to speak to Mr. Haas again.
I think you're right.
That surprised her. She hadn't thought he would agree. She assumed he would tell her they had found Charlie, which was all they had been hired to do. But like her, he knew Charlie wasn't safe until the person behind her abduction was found. Besides, Willow wouldn't give up until she found justice for JT and Marilee. She and Austin, they were in this together. It should have been JT, but instead it was Austin. Willow thought she just might have finally accepted that fact. Deputy Taggart hung near Heath's door and eyed them from across the hall, a question in his eyes. Then he crossed the space and approached them.
Well, how is he?
He's strong.
I think he's going to be okay.
I need to talk to Charlie. Then I need to hear from you two. We have a sheriff down. I think I understand all the facts, but I still have to do the hardest part of my job as acting sheriff now. I have to deliver the news of his death to his widow.
Chapter 65. Saturday, 1:35 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Deputy Taggart had delivered Austin, Willow, and Charlie to the ranch after taking their statements, and was leaving two deputies there to watch over Charlie. He was taking the threat seriously, or at least didn't want to take any chances that Sheriff Haynes hadn't been working alone.
Is it all right if Willow and I go visit Mr. Haas at the nursing home? Austin asked.
Deputy Taggart angled his head. Why would you want to do that at a time like this? That girl needs you.
Evelyn set down a tray with mugs of steaming coffee. She's sleeping soundly, and she knows and trusts me. I can take care of her if these two have something they need to do.
Does it have anything to do with this investigation? Deputy Taggart asked.
Maybe, Austin said.
This is a police matter now. I don't want you interfering with the investigation or putting yourselves in more danger.
We were hired to investigate too, Deputy Taggart.
Willow stared at her computer, looking beat. She was working on something and was determined to see this case through. Austin knew just how she felt. They had been hired to find Charlie, which they'd done. But she was still in danger until her abductor was brought to justice. Willow was likely still in danger as well. Besides, Austin wanted justice for JT as much as Willow did.
We're only going to question Mr. Haas, an elderly man in a nursing home. If we learn anything from him, we'll share that information with you. He's in Clare, though, so Sheriff Everett will want to know what we find out, too.
Deputy Taggart nodded. Many law enforcement entities would be involved before this ended, What with a cold case abduction victim found, and the person they believed was behind Marilee's murder, and the abductor still out there. Austin didn't have time to waste as they waited for others to get up to speed. I can't exactly tell you not to talk to Mr. Haas, but humor me. Come right back here. I want to keep track of everyone, in case I have more questions, especially if a killer is still out there. Mind if I ask about his connection?
I'm not sure, Willow said. Call it a hunch. He knew Marilee, Charlie's mother, who was murdered. I'm trying to find a link back to Texas in that hospital in Houston where Charlie was taken from.
Mr. Haas said Marilee knew his secret. Maybe he knew some of hers, too. Maybe Mr. Haas knew the man she planned to meet the night she was murdered. Austin kept that part to himself. It was a long shot anyway.
Fair enough, Taggart headed for the door.
Then come straight back to the ranch, agreed?
Agreed, Austin said.
Keep her safe, McCade.
To my last breath.
Austin appreciated that Taggart trusted him to do just that. More than anything, he wanted this to be over so he could hold Willow, kiss her, tell her the emotions bursting through the cracks in his heart. Working through this with her had brought them closer than they had ever been. Austin drove Heath's truck to the nursing home in Clare. Willow was quiet on the drive, but he understood. So much had happened within a short time that his mind had to catch up, had to comprehend and internalize. Maybe he could see clearly what they had been missing all along. Someone had paid Sheriff Haynes to do his business. Had Marilee also been paid to abduct Charlie? What was this person's connection to the sheriff and Caitlin Mason? Why had law enforcement not found that connection early on, but instead deemed the abduction random?
You're sure quiet. What are you thinking? He asked.
I hope we aren't barking up the wrong tree, as Sheriff Everett put it.
Well, he was wrong about that, wasn't he? We found her. Dead wrong.
But we almost got her killed in the search, too. Sheriff Haynes had been warning us away.
Since there's another person out there involved, the person who killed Marilee, if the sheriff can be believed, we don't know if Charlie would have been safe if we had left her alone to hide. The truth needed to come out.
Needs to come out. We're not done here yet.
I'm with you all the way. I need to know who was behind the abduction too, Willow. And for what it's worth, I think you're on the right track. It's a hunch JT would have followed. It's a thread. So we follow the threads.
Would they finally find the right needle?
You make an excellent investigator. You should apply to work for the FBI.
I think I'm good, right where I am.
I'm glad you realized that.
He hadn't been sure she would keep the business going with JT gone, but maybe now she would have the confidence to do so.
Once they arrived at the nursing home, he followed Willow in, letting her lead the way. She'd been wonderful with Mr. Haas before, forming a loose but warm friendship. He was certain the man would want to see her again, that is, if he remembered her. Dementia often had the unwanted effect of wiping the memory slate clean, short-term and long-term. At the counter, they met another nurse, Bob, a 30-something lanky guy with dark hair and glasses.
We're here to see Mr. Haas. Your family?
Friends. We came by a couple of days ago, and I told him I'd come back to see him, Willow said.
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but he passed away.
The news turned Austin's insides to stone. Willow stumbled back a little.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
When?
Last night.
Willow swayed. Austin grabbed her elbow.
What about Kim? Can we speak with her?
She's in Mr. Haas's room, clearing things out for his son.
Bob ushered them past the circle of elderly patients in wheelchairs, playing a game involving bubbles, and down the long hallway to the farthest room on the left.
Here you go, he peeked his head into the room.
Kim, some people came to see Henry. Claim they knew him. I'll let you deal with it.
To them, he said, go right in.
Austin ushered a shaky Willow into the room. Antiseptic and asparagus again. Kim eyed them.
Y'all are too late.
Pain etched Willow's face.
What happened?
What do you mean? The guy was 92 years old.
Willow roamed the room, eyeing the few knickknacks and photographs that sat out.
He's been here so long. I didn't have the heart to take his stuff out to make room for the next person. He's been here longer than I have. Usually people don't stay so long. Insurance won't let them, or they die. But Mr. Haas beat the statistics.
Austin peered at the photographs along with Willow. She lifted one particular photograph.
A man stood next to...
Was that Sheriff Haynes?
Albeit a much younger man, a deputy at the time.
Willow showed it to Austin, then she asked Kim,
who is this man?
Kim pointed at the man standing next to Haynes.
Mr. Haas's son, and that's his friend. He's the sheriff. The next county over now, I hear. Sheriff Haynes. I told you he only had one son.
Willow held Austin's gaze. The man in the picture wasn't Silas Everett.
Interesting.
Then Kim didn't know that Mr. Haas was Sheriff Everett's biological father. Nor did she know that Mr. Haas had two sons after all, just like he had said. Who knew? Merrily? Did Sheriff Everett even know his real father had died last night?
That isn't true.
A uniformed man filled the doorframe, startling them. Sheriff Everett. He stepped all the way into the room, his law enforcement presence intimidating in the small space. His features contorted.
He could never openly recognize me. After all, he'd had an affair with my mother that destroyed his family.
Could have destroyed mine, except no one knew about it. Not even the man who raised me as his own knew Henry Haas was my real father. He picked up the picture of Haynes standing next to Mr. Haas's other son. Merrily brought him to meet me a couple of times a year for the last 10 years or so.
You're the secret, then.
Mr. Haas said that Merrily knew his secret.
Willow eyed Kim.
He told us he had two sons, but apparently only Merrily knew about that.
Regret filled his eyes as he shook his head. Then he angled it, suspicion shoving aside the regret.
Why are you two here?
We had hoped to ask Mr. Haas if he knew anything about a man Merrily was supposedly in love with.
That's what Clyde told us.
Everett shook his head.
My cousin was insanely jealous. You can't listen to anything he says. That's why Merrily fought with him. She wanted out of the relationship, but I knew he couldn't kill anyone.
I knew he hadn't killed her.
He was with me.
Sheriff, do you know anything about your half-brother? Austin asked.
Nothing more than his name. He knew about me before I knew the truth and never contacted me. I figured he didn't want to meet me. I didn't know for the better part of my life that old Mr. Haas here was my father.
He was here last night,
Kim said. He got to say goodbye before his father died. Sheriff Everett narrowed his eyes. How often did he come?
Usually once a year.
Mr. Haas was surprised to see him.
And he showed up last night.
Why? Willow asked.
I couldn't say.
Kim pursed her lips.
What's his name?
Willow asked.
Jay,
Kim said.
Jay
Haas. What else? After he left, we had to call him to let him know his father had died. At least Mr. Haas got to see his son one last time, only moments before he died.
Could Jay have killed his father because of the secrets he knew? The secrets Mr. Haas claimed Marilee had kept for him? If so, it wouldn't be a stretch if Jay had killed them both. They had come to ask Mr. Haas if he knew who Marilee was supposed to meet at the motel the night she died. Had that man murdered her? Had Marilee kept her relationship with this man a secret even from Charlie? But without Mr. Haas to answer their questions, it was another dead end. Still, maybe not. Jay Haas had been friends with Sheriff Haynes. The sheriff had been working with someone. Austin studied the contents of the box Kim had been filling with Mr. Haas's belongings. A flash of silver beneath a few shirts caught his attention. He tugged it out without asking permission. Willow looked over his shoulder. An elaborate Western belt buckle. Handcrafted by the Wyoming Silversmith Company.
It's the same company that made Marilee's necklace, she said.
They'd never connected with Hank at the Silversmith Company, but there was no need now.
Do either of you know where Jay Haas lives now? Austin asked.
Why are you asking? Sheriff Everett studied Austin. I can find out if you give me a reason to look. Marilee was the woman who abducted Charlie years ago. We know that Sheriff Haynes was working with someone, too. Someone who abducted Willow last night.
Why would you suspect Jay?
Austin rubbed his jaw. This was another thread, a very loose thread. Sheriff Everett didn't like his questions, but he pressed on. Marilee kept your secret about Mr. Haas being your father? Did she ever say anything to you about a relationship with Jay?
No.
I think she was good at keeping secrets, Willow said. If Jay was behind Charlie's abduction and Marilee's murder, there could be a connection to Caitlin somehow. Something that was missed before, she said.
Maybe. But the sheriff wanted a solid reason to look into his half-brother. Austin couldn't give him that.
Was there anything unusual about him? Willow asked. Kim frowned.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Like what?
Did he appear injured?
Good question, Willow.
She shook her head. No, he seemed fine.
Austin saw where she was going with the question. But if Jay was their man, he would have come here to see his father hours before he abducted Willow and hit the moose. Willow faced the sheriff. Jay could have been the one to partner with Sheriff Haynes in Charlie's abduction. Obviously, they were friends. Sheriff Everett didn't appear convinced.
Did he bring his father any gifts last night? Austin asked.
He had a sack, yes, Kim said. Austin peered into the garbage can. He pulled out his latex gloves and dug around in the can, then pulled out a package with a big State of Texas sticker on the front. Pralines from Texas.
Chapter 66. Saturday, 4:32 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Willow took a long, hot shower. She'd left Austin to speak on his cell with Deputy Taggart about what they had learned.
Sheriff Everett was already on it. The investigation crossed county lines, and they would work together with the state police as well. But all the better, together they would find Mr. Haas's son. He was a person of interest, as the sheriff had put it. Good thing the elderly man had already passed from this life. Finding out the crimes his son had committed likely would have hurt him dreadfully. While she dressed, her cell phone rang. She'd been waiting for a call from Dana. Willow couldn't wait to tell her what they'd learned. "I think we found the guy who abducted me last night. I believe he could be the one behind Charlie's abduction. They'll bring him in for questioning once they find him."
"Wait, you were abducted. Why didn't you tell me?"
"That doesn't matter anymore. What matters is that he might be the person behind Marilee's murder and Charlie's abduction." Willow explained everything to Dana.
"Jay House's birth certificate didn't come up when I searched for Mr. House's son, remember? I found Silas Everett. I'm sorry about that, not to sound negative, but it all sounds like circumstantial evidence. You know it might not be him. And I'm so sorry to hear Mr. House died."
It's pronounced Haas, not House. He went on and on about how people mispronounced his name. "Wait, Haas? House? Oh, Dana, maybe this is the connection. Caitlin's sister-in-law's last name was Hauser, if I'm remembering correctly.
She died years ago. I don't see how that..."
"I'm looking for a man. Her husband is still alive." Willow snapped her fingers.
"John. His name is John Hauser. See what you can find on him. I'm going to look too."
Willow abruptly ended the call. She hoped the internet speed out there wouldn't be too slow. Making the jump from Haas to House was a long shot. It could possibly take a lot of digging and referencing multiple sources to make a connection, if there even was one. But she had a good, strong feeling about this. A hunch worthy of her grandfather. She logged into professional software and plugged in Jay Haas, using Hauser as an alternate name, then placed his residence in both Texas and Wyoming and waited for records to start popping up. When Willow came out of her room, she was eager to find Austin, but Charlie sat at the table with Evelyn. The older woman patted Charlie's hand. Willow couldn't blame the girl for being distraught, especially after everything she had been through. Willow wasn't sure how she would react at hearing such news. Willow descended the stairs slowly, gauging Charlie's reaction to her. She glanced up at Willow, her eyes red, and offered a soft smile.
"One of the deputies got my stuff for me from the cabin. I have the bank statements in my bag. Someone kept depositing money in Mama's bank account. One I didn't share with her. One I didn't know she had. We shared everything. Even the house was in both our names. That's what the money was for, wasn't it? He was paying her to raise me, wasn't he?"
Willow's eyes burned. Whatever transpired before, or whatever was going on, she loved you, Charlie. "I've come to realize that truth. We can't know the circumstances, at least not yet, under which she was led to believe she should care for you. Maybe she had been told your mother was dying and you would need a mother. I don't know. Please, Lord, help me to soften the blow. Give me the right words. So hang on to that one thing, okay? Marilee Clemens was a woman who fiercely loved her daughter." Charlie nodded, biting her trembling lip.
Yeah, okay. I know it's true. I know she loved me.
Willow snatched up her cell when it rang. She was still waiting to hear when Caitlin's flight would arrive. Would it be tonight or tomorrow?
Willow, I'm in Jackson, on the way to Grayback. I talked to Dana and learned you would be at that ranch. I wanted to surprise her, but I thought I'd better call.
What? You're already here and on your way? Willow watched Charlie's expression. Would the girl hold up under all this?
Yes. I don't want to waste time. You understand. You've done excellent work, Willow. I am so thrilled, and I know your grandfather would be as well.
Willow wasn't so certain anymore.
Okay. We'll be waiting.
She ended the call. Charlie's eyes widened.
This is it, then. She's coming here, and I'm going to meet a stranger. She's my mother, but she's a stranger.
Evelyn reached for Charlie's hand and squeezed.
Now, don't you fret. It's going to be just fine. All you're doing is meeting her. You can stay here at the Emerald M as long as you like. Remember that.
Charlie nodded.
Thank you. It means so much to me. Mac putting me up in the cabin meant everything. I owe him big time.
Something else you should know is that Caitlin has a big ranch with horses in Texas. She had always wanted horses.
You train them here for Mac? I mean, Heath? It runs in your blood, I guess.
I hear you are really gifted with them.
I think so, yes. I was getting my degree in animal science with an equestrian minor. But it's so much. Too much to take in. I'm scared.
Take a deep breath, Willow said. Take it all slowly. God has a hope and a future for you. No one is rushing you into this. Willow couldn't speak for Caitlin, though, who might definitely rush Charlie. Meet Caitlin Mason. You can always visit her and her ranch later.
Charlie toyed with her mug.
Okay, sure.
At least she had relaxed. Austin hung back in the kitchen, taking it all in. She couldn't wait to give him the news, but Charlie had to come first. She studied his expression as he watched her. Admiration lingered in his eyes. Willow's breath caught at the attention he gave her. She wanted to be in his arms, but she concentrated on Charlie. The next few moments and hours would be telling. She hoped and prayed both Charlie and Caitlin would be understanding and patient, and neither would hurt the other. She left Charlie with Evelyn and moved to stand by Austin.
Any news about Heath?
He shook his head. He's in the best place he can be right now. I'll go see him after Charlie meets Caitlin. We'll see this through, Willow. Together. The sound of that warmed her heart. She couldn't help it and leaned in his direction. He took her hand and squeezed. Longing coursed through her. She had so much to say to this man, but she feared that once this was over, they would go their separate ways again.
I found it. Austin, I found the connection to Caitlin.
John Hauser, Caitlin's brother-in-law. He was married to her husband's sister. Jay Haas is John Hauser. Austin blinked, his surprise evident. She continued. Jay Haas moved to Texas with his mother. At some point decades ago, he started using the name John Hauser.
It became his legal name, though he never changed it on his birth certificate. But he was born J. Edgar Haas in Wyoming. I found the name change in a public records search. I needed his original name along with Wyoming and Texas to make that connection. He's the connection to Caitlin and Wyoming we've been looking for. The man behind Charlie's abduction 21 years ago is J. Haas and Caitlin's brother-in-law.
Chapter 67. Saturday, 6:05 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Austin spent the next hour talking to the deputies. He'd informed them of what Willow had discovered about J. Haas, and they relayed the news. He feared, too, that Caitlin Mason could also be in real danger. Good thing she was already on her way. One deputy walked the perimeter of the property. Once they had their man, Charlie and Willow would both be safe. He thought that moment would never come. A vehicle made its way up the driveway. A big blue Suburban.
Showtime, ladies.
Austin moved to the kitchen. He wanted to stand back and observe, protect. But mostly, he wanted to be out of the way of the emotional tidal wave that was about to hit. Charlie stood, swiped her hands down her jeans. Footsteps clomped on the porch. Willow put on a smile and opened the door. Caitlin appeared pale, but nonetheless healthy.
"May we come in?"
she asked.
"We." Austin pushed from the wall.
"Of course, please."
Willow stepped aside and allowed Caitlin and a man into the house. Austin's muscles tensed.
"Willow, I'd like you to meet my fiancé, John Hauser."
Avoiding using his broken arm, he smiled and pulled Caitlin close. He was big enough that he could easily break her.
"We've known each other for years. I've loved her for years, then finally she said yes."
"We want to make a family for Jamie," Caitlin added, making her reasons for the union clear. "John is a pilot with his own Cessna, and he got us here as fast as he could."
John's expression darkened. Willow took a few steps back and almost stumbled, but Austin caught her.
"Watch it there," he said gently. "Act normal. Everything is normal. Don't let him know you're on to him. Not here."
But he was absolutely certain he wouldn't let Charlie leave with them. Caitlin's blue eyes teared up as she took a shaky step toward Charlie.
"Jamie?"
Charlie blinked and looked to Willow and Austin for reassurance.
I don't guess they told you. My name is Charlie."
Caitlin shuddered as though slapped and appeared to reconsider her approach. Regained her composure.
"Charlie, then. I'm Caitlin Mason, your..."
Her mouth quivered. She raised her arms, wanting to hug the child she'd spent a lifetime searching for, then dropped them. Austin kept his eyes on John Hauser, hoping the deputy outside was calling for backup. Surely, Everett had already issued an alert for law enforcement to be on the lookout for Hauser. The deputy should have stopped him at the door, though. Still, Hauser wouldn't do anything here while people he cared deeply about were around. Better to get Hauser alone.
"Why don't we talk over there?"
Charlie offered a weak grin and another glance at Willow, then Evelyn.
"Just so we can have some privacy?"
"Sounds like a good idea."
John made a move to join them,
but Caitlin flashed her eyes at him.
No, John, just Charlie. I want a few minutes alone with the daughter I haven't seen for 2 decades.
John, you can join us over here at the table, Willow said.
Would you like coffee?
Something else to drink? Anger and something much more disturbing shone on his face. Possessiveness. I'll take coffee. Black. He yanked a chair out and eased into it. The man was far from relaxed. Austin remained against the wall, his hand slowly inching down toward his weapon. Lord, please don't let it come to that. He would check with the deputy in a few minutes if he got the chance, but he couldn't leave the women alone with this man. Evelyn and Willow brought mugs out filled with coffee. Austin caught Evelyn on her way back into the kitchen and whispered, "Stay in there." She smiled and laughed as though he'd said something funny. Smart woman. Willow sat across from John at the table. Not so close, Willow. Not so close. She eyed John over the brim of her cup. Then she set the mug slowly on the table.
I want to give you my condolences. I was sorry to hear about your father.
Oh, Willow, you didn't. John frowned and nodded. Thank you. Suddenly, he lifted his chin, suspicion erupting in his expression. Willow smiled.
That's right. I knew Mr. Haas.
John Hauser said nothing, but Austin could see he was calculating what he would do next. Austin remained completely still, wishing his hand was already on his weapon. It hit me hard, but he lived a good long life. So he would play it casual then. In the living area, Charlie and Caitlin hugged. Austin could hardly believe they had made that much progress. Together, they approached the table, wearing tearful but joyful expressions.
Did John tell you he grew up in Wyoming, Caitlin? Willow asked.
What? Caitlin took a step closer, her arm around Charlie, a cherished loved one.
You never told me that.
It wasn't important. Caitlin glanced to Willow.
And I told Dana I didn't have any connections to...
Her expression changed as she worked through the implications.
John?
He rose from the chair, jamming his hand in his pocket. Austin pushed from the wall, reaching for his gun at his back. Charlie, why don't you take Caitlin and Willow to see the horses? I'll show John the property. Caitlin led Charlie to the door, opened it, and then gently shoved her out.
Go, sweetheart. Go out there. Talk to that deputy and be safe.
But Caitlin shut the door. Uh-oh. She was as determined as Willow to face off with the man who had hurt her.
Why did you do it, John?
Why did you take Jamie? He stepped back, his face reddening. How could you think I would do such a thing?
Her eyes boiled with fury as tears threatened to spill from them. Don't lie to me. All this time, and I never saw it. I never saw you for what you really are. And now we're engaged? She spewed the words. At least I didn't marry you. I love you. I've always loved you. You should have been mine. You should have married me to begin with instead of him.
Oh, I see how it is and has always been. You are a sad, sad man, John Hauser. I remember vividly how you comforted me when Jamie was taken. Tried to get me to marry you even then.
when you should have still been mourning Jennifer. It wasn't me you wanted. It was my money.
It was never about the money, Caitlin. Now please calm down. You're sick. You're not thinking straight. So what if I grew up here? So what if my dad was in a nursing home here? It has nothing to do with us. I've been in love with you for as long as I've known you. This, our engagement, our future marriage, it was always meant to be.
Fury blazed in Caitlin's eyes, mingling with betrayal.
You took my baby!
I've been searching for a lifetime. Her lifetime.
I've hired numerous investigators over the years to find her, he said. Why would I do that if I took her?
You did all that, but didn't want them to find her.
You knew they couldn't. Not until I hired Anderson Consulting. Like me, you knew J.T. Anderson, or his granddaughter had a real chance of finding her.
Caitlin pressed her hands over her face. She looked like she might pass out.
It's all so clear now. No, 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 I'm going to be the father Charlie never had. We're going to be a family now, just like you wanted. Get out of my sight.
Caitlin collapsed, as though she'd fainted. Was she unconscious? Austin's gut tensed. This had all been too much for the ailing woman. Willow, acting instinctively, rushed to assist Caitlin. John snatched Willow's hair, yanking her toward him. He pulled her up against him and pointed a gun at her head, using his broken arm as best he could. Austin's heart jumped to his throat.
Focus. Save her. Take him down if it's the last thing you do.
You couldn't leave it alone, could you? Hauser asked.
Willow's face contorted with pain. Hauser's arm must be hurting him too, to hold her like that.
You and Marilee, she croaked out. You grew up together. She must have had a crush on you, and you took advantage of that. Even in your early teens, then your mother moved you to Texas. You must have kept up that relationship when you came back to visit your father.
You knew Marilee would do anything for you, including raise someone else's baby. As long as you made a few trips back every year to keep her happy, and sent her money every month. Years later, Marilee was your father's nurse, so she could watch out for him, too. Why didn't you just come back and marry her?
I didn't marry Marilee because I fell in love with Caitlin. Beautiful, sweet Caitlin. But she married my best friend, Cliff. We were all still friends then. I married Cliff's sister, Jennifer. That way I could always be part of the family and near Caitlin. We were one big, happy family.
Then she struck it rich. Are you sure that didn't have anything to do with it? Willow asked.
It wasn't fair. Mom moved us to Texas when I was only 13. I met Caitlin in 8th grade and fell in love with her. I waited for her this long. In the meantime, I worked hard in the oil field in Texas. Tried to make a better life for me and Mom after what my dad did to us? Cheating on her like that? His betrayal crushed her. Then Caitlin. She becomes an overnight millionaire? That should have been mine. I was the one to pour blood, sweat, and tears into the oil field, not her.
Again, he pulled Willow's hair, forcing out a whimper. I've come too far to let you ruin this for me.
It's taken me a lifetime to finally get what I deserve.
Caitlin finally stirred. Had she heard any of this? She remained on the floor and scooted against the wall and out of the way. Good. John dragged Willow toward the door. Austin tried to close the distance.
Don't even think about it. I'll blow her head off if you take another step. I can see what that would do to you.
It would destroy you.
Just like me losing Caitlin will destroy me. So we have an understanding. We're both going to lose everything today.
Austin nodded. Please, don't hurt her. I love her.
It's true.
I love her. He had to keep him talking. Buy them some time. So, Caitlin should have been your wife. I get that.
Things took a turn for the better when her husband died. We were friends, sure, but Caitlin had always been mine. I think she knew that all along. Isn't that right, honey?
But when he died, that was my chance. Except Caitlin was pregnant with his baby. And then she got sick. I came so close to losing her. Tears choked his voice.
But she was focused on that baby. I know she was glad I was there to support her, but everything was slipping from my fingers. Caitlin, I wanted her to love me. But then all she talked about was the baby this and the baby that.
And Marilee wanted a baby? Willow locked eyes with Austin. He read the message in her eyes.
Do it. Just shoot him.
Not until he could do that without hurting her. John's hand shook as he fingered the trigger, pointing the weapon at Willow 1 second, then at Austin the next. Sweat beaded on his temple. They were running out of time. This wasn't going to end well. Austin couldn't see any way to survive this. Per usual, he had no good options. Save one. At least Willow and the others would survive. If he could draw the man's gunfire away from Willow, then he could take him down. There was only one way to do that. If only he had a knife.
Yes. When I went to visit Dad, I'd see Marilee too. She wanted to have my baby. I got an idea. Abduct Caitlin's baby and give it to Marilee. Both problems solved.
Then Caitlin would have no more distractions. She could focus on me. She would marry me before she died. I would lose her, but her money would be with me. So she would always be with me. Except she recovered and didn't marry me. Still, I worked with her in the oil business. Managed the money. We were happy together. A deep, abiding friendship that would one day lead to marriage. If only Marilee hadn't gotten greedy and demanded more money. She threatened to destroy it all. She got what she deserved.
A man confessing all had no intention of leaving witnesses.
I was back where I started. Caitlin sick again, close to dying, and all she could think about was her daughter. Finding her Jamie. And I tried to stop it. I tried to stop you.
You killed my grandfather, Willow yelled. How could you kill an old man like that? He was the best thing in my life.
Hold it together, Willow. Don't force him to shoot you.
He was the only one who could find Jamie. And you, his granddaughter. But you just wouldn't stop.
He smiled then. A sick smile.
It doesn't matter. This time she agreed to marry me. Jamie needs a father.
Or she would have, if she hadn't died today along with the rest of you. She's your fiancé, John. She agreed to marry you. You don't have to lose everything, Austin said. There's no way to fix this. John's wild eyes flashed. I'm so sorry, Caitlin. Austin had hoped it wouldn't come to this. So, you're going to kill me first, right? Austin said. Then you can make it look like I killed them and then killed myself. But the only way that is going to happen is if you shoot me first. Exactly. I can't let you interfere. He aimed the weapon at Austin and pulled the trigger.
Chapter 68. Willow screamed. John released her and dropped to the ground. Austin had shot him. She checked his pulse. He was dead. The deputy keeping watch outside burst through the door. Willow ran to Austin, who remained on the ground. He sucked in a ragged breath.
Oh, Austin, I didn't think we would make it through this.
He glanced at her but didn't say anything.
Are you hit? You wore the vest, didn't you?
He shook his head.
No. No vest.
Fear coiled around her heart.
You're shot? Help! We need help!
The deputy knelt next to Austin. He radioed for an ambulance and more deputies.
Here, put pressure on the wound.
Evelyn rushed from the kitchen and pressed towels against his side. Willow palmed Austin's cheeks and brought her face close to his. His lids fluttered.
Oh, no, you don't. You listen to me, Austin McCade. You are going to live. You are not going to die on me. Heath would never forgive you. Do you hear me?
She pressed her forehead against his and sobbed.
Please, please, God, please. I don't know if you want me.
She sobbed out the words.
I don't know if you love me. I don't know if it will help, but I have to say this. I love you, Austin. Please don't die on me.
The next few minutes moved by in a slow daze for Willow. Paramedics arrived. They took Austin in a helicopter, the fastest way to get him to the hospital, and they removed John Hauser's body. Willow was numb all over. She couldn't lose Austin, too. JT and then Austin? What would she do? On the porch, watching the helicopter fly away, Caitlin and Charlie held on to each other. Their kinship and the kindred spirit between them helped them connect quickly. Evelyn held Willow.
You hold on to your faith now. You keep praying. It's a rough day when two McCade men are in the hospital. Both of them put their lives in danger to save others. Both are heroes, if you ask me. Let's get in Heath's truck. I'll drive you down to the hospital.
Willow didn't remember the long, rough drive down from Emerald M, or the miles of highway to Grayback and the county hospital. She didn't remember being ushered into the hospital or sitting in the waiting room. Caitlin, Charlie, and Evelyn stayed with her to comfort and reassure her. Willow wasn't the only one in pain. Caitlin still had to work through John's betrayal. But she had Charlie with her now, and she wouldn't throw that away to mourn for the man who had betrayed her. Though Willow's mind and heart were numb, the only way she could survive the pain. One thought kept swirling in her head. Why had she let Austin go? Why had she given him up before?
Willow, a soft voice said. Willow, honey,
You can go in and see Austin now.
What?
She peered up at Evelyn's lined features.
He's awake and asking for you.
Evelyn helped Willow to her feet and led her down the hallway, accompanied by a nurse. She took her into the post-operative room where Austin was recovering before he was moved into Heath's room. Dark shadows circled his eyes. His handsome face was unusually pale. Willow drew near to him, unsure of what to do or say. He wasn't even awake. How could he have asked for her? She sat in a chair and leaned against the bed as near his face as she could get, then finally gave up the chair and sat on the edge of the bed and leaned forward until she was near his ear.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Stop talking, he mumbled.
Willow edged back to look at him.
What did you say?
His gunmetal gray eyes blinked at her.
I said, stop talking.
She wasn't sure what he wanted from her and started to move away.
Just kiss me, Willow.
His eyes were clear, so it wasn't the drugs, she didn't think.
You're all I've thought about, so please, just kiss me.
Her heart tumbled around inside her ribcage. His words brought too much joy and shocked her system after what she'd just been through. She leaned closer and gently pressed her lips against his. His hand came up and grabbed the back of her head, weaving his fingers through her hair and pressing her closer with more strength than she would have expected. She let herself get lost in Austin, his essence, everything she loved about him. He'd risked his life for her twice in one day. She wasn't about to leave him. She eased away, but only a little.
Every minute in this life counts. I want you, Willow. I love everything about you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I've put it all out there for you this time. No more secrets. I hope it's enough. Willow, will you marry me?
Willow leaned closer.
I don't want to waste one more second without you. There's nothing I want more on this earth than to belong to you.
I think JT knew all along that I still loved you, Austin, that I never stopped. He grinned.
I suspect that's the real reason he called me. He'd planned to head to Wyoming. He had a flimsy thread at best, but wanted me to follow it with him.
Because by following that thread, he would force you to face your past.
Face myself. He knew I had to do that before you and I could finally be together. I wish I could thank him.
He closed his eyes. The conversation was probably draining him. She pressed her forehead gently against Austin's.
I love you so much.
She couldn't have been more wrong in thinking she and Austin were over. But JT had never let go of believing they were meant to be together.
If I could fix this for you, I would,
he'd said about her parents' death. He hadn't been able to fix that. But that's why he'd tried so hard to fix what was broken between her and Austin.
Thank you, JT.
The end. This is Jordana Oberman. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Never Let Go by Elizabeth Goddard,
Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold, including Audible.com, Audiobooks.com, Google Play, Apple iTunes, and in public libraries through RB Digital. Thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.